In his day job, Shashi Tharoor works at the United Nations as a top diplomat dealing with international hotspots from the Balkans to Iraq. Born in London and educated in India and the U.S., he's worked with the U.N. since 1978, in recent years advising U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan. Tharoor is now the Undersecretary General for Communications and Public Information. He has another passion, however, writing books, both fiction and nonfiction. His latest is Nehru, The Invention of India, a biography of India's first post-colonial leader. Shashi Tharoor joins us now from our New York bureau. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Michelle.
This book gives readers a very personal view of Nehru, particularly his relationships with his father and with Gandhi. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about Nehru's father? He seemed to want to make sure Nehru had this privileged upbringing and English education. Yeah. Why was that so important at the time?
Well, Motilal Nehru, Jawaharlal Nehru's father, was an extremely successful lawyer in British India, in Victorian India. Very, very determined that his son was going to fulfill a destiny of greatness that Motilal saw in him. A postcard has survived, for example, of Motilal sending to his son at school a postcard of 19th century Indian heroes, and below the name of one of them, a picture of one of them, R.C. Dutt, who was a literateur, an economist, a translator of the great epic, the Mahabharata, and the president of the Indian National Congress, a man of great achievement. Motilal writes beneath that, future Jawaharlal Nehru.
And when this boy got to know Gandhi, it changed his worldviews in a very different way than his father had anticipated.
Yes, well, it's a fascinating story, that, because, Gandhi came back to India and rapidly transformed Indian nationalism, which up to that point had been the politics of the drawing room, an unelected, self-regarding elite petitioning the British for the rights of Englishmen. He transformed that into an activity that mobilized India's masses, the ordinary peasantry and so on, and, of course, encouraged them to break unjust British laws. Now, Jawaharlal was captivated by this, but Motilal, the father, was horrified. He said, look, you're a lawyer. If you think a law is unjust, challenge it in the courts, not in the streets.
And they did, in fact, spend years in prison.
They spent years in prison. Jawaharlal spent 10 years in prison. But Mahatma Gandhi actually won Motilal's heart by talking Jawaharlal out of following him into the streets and breaking the law, knowing full well that within a couple of years, both father and son would indeed be with him. And sure enough, you're right, they were.
So he always seemed to be between his father and Gandhi's influence, taking a bit from both.
Jawaharlal, I think, perhaps because of this extraordinarily strong, almost overweening father presence in his life, needed that father figure. And there's a lovely letter that survived of him saying to Gandhi, my dear Bapuji, which is a term that connotes filial devotion, am I not your child in politics, if sometimes an errant and truant child? Gandhi ensured that Nehru ascended to the leadership of the Indian National Congress much earlier than Nehru's peers and elders thought he was ready. Partially also because Gandhi was shrewd enough to realize that there was a risk that if he didn't cooperate Nehru, that the younger, more radical, more impatient man might well go off and split the nationalist movement and take it in a different direction.
This Nehru's life covers a fascinating time for India. You have the partition between India and Pakistan, the beginnings of the conflict over Kashmir. This was not the kind of India that Nehru hoped would emerge out of the British Empire, was it?
No, I mean, he was absolutely passionate about keeping India united, and he never thought he would live to see the day when India would be partitioned on religious lines. And so, yes, he was deeply dismayed by the fact that the point was reached when he and other leaders in the Congress Party, except Gandhi, of course, thought that partition was a lesser evil to the risk of chaos and violence engulfing the country, and so he agreed to partition.
But when you look at his legacy, you wrote that he put the political cart before the economic horse. You also challenged his foreign policy for being too personal. How damaging was this for India?
In the West, here in America, you instinctively associate capitalism with freedom. But in a colonial society, capitalism was associated instinctively with slavery. The British East India Company came to trade and stayed on to rule. So Indian nationalists and nationalists in many other third world countries saw foreign capital as an instrument of political oppression. And thanks to Nehru, we spent decades subsidizing unproductivity, regulating stagnation, and trying to distribute poverty.
So you write that India's challenge now is to both depart from Nehru's legacy and to build on it. What parts do they depart from?
They have to move away from his foreign policy assumptions, which were very much about foreign policy as an exercise of the articulation of principle. India has to build on its democracy. We have this great democratic legacy. It hasn't always been handled as worthily as Nehru would have wished. And indeed, there's a great deal of corruption in Indian politics, of criminalization in certain parts of India, of the political process. And more important, I think, the tendency, even in Indian politics, for people to appeal on sectarian grounds, you know, caste, creed, religion, region, language, that Nehru would have abhorred. And his faith in pluralism is the other legacy we have to build on. We have to move away from that which divides us in India and rather focus on what unites us. Because the great magic of India under Nehru has always been the idea that you could have a country divided by caste, creed, colour, culture, costume, custom, cuisine, conviction and consonant, and still have a consensus on the basic democratic principle that you don't have to agree all the time, so long as you agree on the ground rules of how you will disagree.
Shashi Tharoor is Undersecretary General for Communications and Public Information of the United Nations, and he's the author of Nehru, the Invention of India. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Michelle.
To hear an extended version of our conversation with Shashi Tharoor, please go to our website, npr.org.